Over the past few years that I've worked as a wellness nutrition coach, I've really had the privilege of witnessing women go through the ebbs and flows of their health goals. And I've noticed some recurring themes that I think really deserve a deep dive as we round out the end of August at the time of this recording, which is National Wellness Month. So I'm bringing to you a three-part series starting today that is really brought to you by my urge to uncover with you the patterns that have led many of my amazing clients and myself to stumble in our health goals. Just keeping it real, we've all been there. We've all been chasing after those seemingly unattainable expectations and kind of falling short of our goals. And we don't really have to do that anymore. So if you've been wondering why your health goals never really seem to stick, or you just can't seem to get on top of things, this three-part series is going to be for you. I'm hoping that it brings you some enlightenment on some pretty simple things, but really powerful things that we might be doing that we can change just a little bit to get us back on our wellness game and accomplishing the goals that we have our hearts set on. So here we go. Hey there, and welcome to Be Well with Steph, the podcast. This is the show for you if you believe that personal wellness can be an actively pursued goal, and you're ready to tackle building healthier daily habits with a little bit of good humor, a little bit of grace, and a little bit of coffee. I'm Steph, I'm your wellness and nutrition coach and your host, and I want to make it really clear. You're not expected to be or live perfectly here. Lord knows I don't. After battling diet culture and then learning to navigate the world of wellness culture myself, I know a few things are true. One, it doesn't have to be complicated to be effective. Two, you are capable of creating a lifestyle you love. And three, you have everything you need to start doing that today inside your own beautiful self. On this show, we'll talk about nourishing yourself, moving your body, getting a good night's sleep, caring for your mental health, being in community, and maintaining day-to-day practices that make you feel good. I'm here to help empower you to create and maintain a lifestyle of wellness that gives you the strength, energy, and confidence to go after your wildest dreams. The first big idea that we are going to tackle today when it comes to achieving our health goals is the idea of managing our expectations. One of the major roadblocks to successful health goals is when we set goals that are overly ambitious or unrealistic targets for us. And our enthusiasm and our hope around our health and wellness are great. Like, you should strive for amazing things, for the biggest things you can think of. But if we aim too high right away and think that we're going to hit that target too soon, it can lead to some frustration and some disappointment that can throw us off our path. And then when you naturally fail to achieve that goal because it's unrealistic for the time that you have or the starting place that you're at, your emotional response to not meeting that goal can feel really demotivating. It might even cause you to abandon your efforts altogether. Like, raise your hand if you've been there, because I have been there. Just setting my sights too high, not getting there right away, and thinking, okay, well, maybe that goal is not for me. And in the end, when there's not like a ton of progress, I start to feel really discouraged, and it makes it really difficult to keep going. We want to stop that pattern right here. Physically, pursuing unrealistic health goals might push you to do something that's too extreme or too intense, or to try something that you're not going to be able to sustain that puts excessive strain on your body and increase the risk of injury or fatigue or burnout or illness. And we really don't want to do that when we're striving to improve our wellness, right? So instead, as I have been saying for years and years around this space, we are going to focus on setting attainable short-term objectives that align with our long-term vision. We're going to celebrate each small victory as they lead to significant progress over time. And that's going to be, I know, easier said than done, but if we break it into some manageable steps and understand like why we need to do that, I really think that we're going to be able to learn and grow. So I want to share today two main reasons why I believe we have unrealistic expectations. And then I'm going to share with you 7 steps for what we can do instead to kind of tackle those and to get ourselves making progress. So really, we set these unrealistic expectations for what I believe are one of 2 reasons. First reason being, we are comparing ourselves to what we see in the world around us, and primarily these days to what we see in social media, in marketing, and in the online space. Even if that social media space is not in people like, you know, big fitness influencers or coaches or anything like that, maybe the people we're seeing around us on social media are friends and family, are people from high school, are local people in the community. And it's really easy to compare whatever we see them presenting to the world to what we're actually going through. Early on in podcasting, I think maybe like episode 2 of this, I'll have to go back and see. I think it was episode 2. I did a whole episode on the comparison trap. So you should definitely go back and go back to the beginning to take a listen to that again. But like the short of it is that in today's social media driven world, we are bombarded with picture perfect images, with people highlighting the best version of themselves, highlighting their successes, their after pictures. And sometimes all this seems like way too good to be true. They often are, right? If something looks like it's too good to be true, it probably is. Images on social media are edited, they're curated to present as flawlessly as possible. When we see people's before and after photos, we often compare to like, okay, well, I hate when I see somebody's before photo and I'm like, well, that's my after goal, right? Like you see people showing things that just aren't where we are in life. And so it's so easy to forget that when we're scrolling through to like reality check ourselves, to stop and say, wait a second, I'm seeing someone else's life and a specially curated version of that that they have selected for me to see. Even I do that when you go on my Instagram. Those are carefully selected images and carefully selected videos that I've chosen to share with the world. It's a tiny little sampling of what I'm actually thinking, feeling, experiencing, and looking like on a day-to-day basis. I guarantee you what I look like 99% of the time is not what hits social media, right? Those are like the highlight reel, as they say. And if we forget that as we're scrolling through, it's setting us up for disappointment, setting us up for frustration. If we feel like we're falling short, if we're not doing enough, I think I've said on here before, like when you wake up in the morning and you're like, wow, look, someone's had an entire day before I rolled out of bed. And here's the 14 things they've accomplished by 5 a.m. That can feel really frustrating. Like I'm not doing enough. I'm not putting in enough effort. And we got to stop comparing our individual real life journeys to what we see other people doing without knowing the whole picture of who they are and what's going on. So we need to like kind of stop this comparison trap, this feeling of envy, this feeling of unachievable standards, or feeling like, oh my gosh, if I just really worked harder, if I tried harder, if I had more resources, if I had better self-control, maybe I could do that too. That's not really the realistic situation. Instead, we want to say, I am where I am. They are where they are. I don't know their whole story. And all I know is what I can control for myself on a day-to-day basis. Okay. So there's more about that kind of social media and comparison trap thing. Again, if you go back to that earlier episode 2. So the second camp of why I think we set these unrealistic health goals is that fad diets, diet culture, fitness marketing, all of those things have given us very short timelines. They've given us very quick fixes that are really flashy and appealing. You've seen them, you've tried them, your mom's tried them, your grandma's tried them, because women have been targeted for decades now with quick fix diet culture-y kind of things, right? We've seen those flashy solutions, and you can probably name a bunch of them off the top of your head right now, but they're 28-day this, 14-day this, 30-day challenge this. They're all these very short timelines, most of them focused around weight loss, if we're being real, right? And sure, shedding pounds at warp speed might sound appealing, but honestly, these approaches are not typical. They're not sustainable. They're not healthy. They're not always realistic. And, you know, when people say things like, oh, it takes 21 days to make a habit. Why? Maybe on an average somewhere from some sampling of research they've pulled, the average was 21 days. But you can make a habit in one day. You might be working on making a habit, even though you're really trying. You might be working on making a habit for years. I wanted to eat a plant-based diet. I did that overnight. It didn't take me 21 days to make a habit. It took me one day to make an identity change to say, I eat plant-based diets, I'm vegan, and overnight change, not 21 days. I've also been trying to say, I'm a person who wakes up and works out every day. That's my habit. I've been working on that habit for the last decade, and I'm not there yet, okay? And it's because the other things have taken priority in my life, and I haven't made that part of my true identity. It's always something it's been easier for me to say. I'm a person who moves my body regularly. I don't hold myself to an every morning type of habit. So when marketing campaigns are promising us a 21-day fix, a 30-day solution, a two-week reset, right? We've seen these over and over again. They're setting us up these unrealistic expectations that then when suddenly I haven't returned to my high school sized body in the last 21 days, I feel like I've done something wrong. This is where we need to continue to manage our expectations. So I'm going to guess that if you have any of those unrealistic expectations, it's probably a combination of those two things. If you think there's something else going on there with why expectations are hard to manage, I'd love to hear from you because I think this is a really, really important topic for women to be diving into together. So let me know about that for sure. But I want to spend the rest of our time here talking about some steps to avoid unrealistic expectations, okay? I've got 7 of them for you today. They address some of the things I was just chatting about, but then have some new ideas too. They're not steps of things you need to do in a particular order, but they're more like steps we can work on incorporating. You can pick and choose the things that you think speak to you and the struggle you have with health goals and then apply them that way. And this is the kind of thing that I work on one-on-one with clients all the time, is how do we go from that big picture in our head of where we'd like to be into manageable steps that we can achieve. And the first step I really want to encourage you in is those manageable incremental steps, small, realistic, incremental goals. We want to focus on setting small, achievable goals that align with our long-term vision. We want to break down our larger objectives into manageable steps and then celebrate each milestone along the way. And that's totally key. So kind of think about it like this. You wouldn't expect to go from never working out to trying to climb Mount Everest overnight, right? That goes for all of your health goals. We want to set realistic targets that we can manage that are within our own current abilities and within a time frame that is appropriate for changing those abilities and especially changing them in a sustainable way. I've talked a lot about SMART goals and I will continue to do that, but we want to nail down goals that are specific, that we can measure, that we know we can achieve with our current skill sets, that are relevant to the overall health and picture of our lives. And then that T, some people like the time-bound part that we are trying to do it in a time frame. You know, I really like the trackable T, meaning there's a way for us to physically see if we're making progress. But really the point is to nail down a specific thing that we're going to do and keep track of and measure our progress and then celebrate that progress. And when you can tangibly see today that you did more than you did yesterday, when you did one more sit-up than yesterday, when you're eating one more vegetable a day than you were last week, you can genuinely acknowledge that you are making progress in your health. So then you're aware of what's happening and what's changing. You can notice it. You can congratulate yourself and you can celebrate it. Seeing that little progress happen is what is going to boost your motivation and get you to keep going. Okay, the second tip here is to educate yourself. Knowledge is power. And in the world of health and wellness, accurate knowledge is like having a superpower. But there's like a sea of information out there, right? There are so many different camps about what is going to be best for your wellness. I want you to skip the hearsay. I don't want you to do something just because your coworker is doing it. I want you to look for reputable sources, sources that are backed by science. Dig into real scientific medical research, not what the latest tabloid is saying. kind of like sorting out the diamonds from the pebbles. There's a lot of stones out there, but you want the really good stuff. So you can talk to professionals in your field. You can talk in the field. You can talk to healthcare professionals, dietitians, nutritionists, coaches, while also keeping in mind that each of those people have a particular bias. And you want to ensure that those people are well-researched, that they can share that research with you, and that you can decide in a really informed way what's going to be best for your health. Ask questions. Don't be shy. Challenge the things that people say. We really want to dig for truth, true knowledge here, and really be educated and informed about what's out there in the world of fitness, things that are best for your body, how your body works, the biology and the physiology of it, what nutrients are in foods and how those are going to serve your bodies, educating yourself with, you know, what your doctor says to you, what your blood work shows, what your family history is, and then working to build health goals that come from a place of knowledge, come from a place of power, not things that you're doing as health goals just because the latest influencer has tried them, okay? When it also comes to managing our expectations, we want to make sure that we are focusing on health, not just appearance. And it is okay for you, if it is okay if you have goals in mind because you'd like to change your physique. You're allowed. You're allowed to have whatever goals you want to for your life. In the same way that I might want to cut my hair shorter because I like that change to my appearance, you're allowed to decide that you are going to make changes based off appearance. But make sure that the changes you are making to your appearance are not at the sacrifice of your health and well-being. We do not sacrifice our health for our looks. Let's get really, truly clear on what we're working on when it comes to our health. And it's okay. You are allowed to care about your physique, but not because you're skinnier. Maybe because you are healthier. Maybe because when you are taking care of yourself, you feel strong and you can see that you're strong. Maybe when you're taking care of your health, you glow a little bit differently. You shine a little bit differently from the inside out. And we want to keep reframing those thoughts in our mind when it comes to like fitness and physique, remembering that you don't have to lose X amount of pounds or be a certain size. That's kind of arbitrary if getting there is going to damage your physical or mental health in different ways, okay? So we're going to kind of reframe the idea of wellness as not about losing weight, but as about gaining health. And we're going to manage the expectation that I don't have to lose 20 pounds in order to gain my health. I need to nourish well and move regularly and allow my body to become the size that it is when I'm healthy, when I'm taking care of myself. And how do I need to move to do that? And what nourishing foods do I need to eat to do that? And how much sleep do I need? And how much water do I need? And who am I hanging out with that is going to help draw that out of me? Okay, we're going to focus on our health, not just on our appearance when we're thinking about managing these health goals. Okay, number four, we're going to practice a little bit of self-compassion. I'm going to need you to be kind to yourself. I'm going to need you to recognize that setbacks or slower progress are a normal part of any journey. We're going to avoid criticizing ourselves and that negative self-talk and instead start to really work toward some self-compassion, acknowledging that everyone faces challenges and that you're doing your best. You're still out there trying. The setbacks and the slow progress happen to all of us. So instead of beating ourselves up over those bumps in the road and letting that shut down our progress, it's really time for you to show yourself some love. You got to be your own biggest cheerleader here. You got to be your own number one fan. When things don't go as planned, you're going to have to start giving yourself that little pep talk, just like you would to a friend or a kid. It's not a harsh judgment. It's just a loving understanding that people face challenges. Even me, even you, even the people who seem like they have it all together on the internet. Everybody's facing challenges. You got to let go of the self-critic that says it's just you. And nobody got time for that negativity, okay? You've got to know that you're giving it your all, that your best is always enough, even if your best is a rest day. If that's what you need today, your best is enough because you're listening to yourself. And this journey is about growth. It's not about perfection. Okay, so you're going to have to be a little bit loving to yourself to remind yourself that it's going to take time. There are going to be some stumbling blocks, and you're just going to pick yourself up and you're just going to keep going. Okay, tip number five here for managing these expectations is to be really conscious of the comparison trap. It might be that you have to unfollow people that are not bringing joy to your life. It might be they're going to opt for accounts that spread positive vibes about health and wellness, that are inclusive. And this content we're talking about is not just social media. It's also like mainstream media you consume. It might be the TV shows that you watch, the books that you read, the music you listen to, everything. You're going to think about curating your life to show you the stuff that you want to see. You're going to surround yourself with people that are good for you. Follow accounts, watch movies, read books that inspire and uplift you, and skip the ones that don't. You're going to hit that unfollow button. You're going to say no to certain people. You're going to set some boundaries here in the name of keeping your headspace realistic, in the name of avoiding comparing yourself to others. Maybe that's taking a social media break. Maybe it is setting some social media timers. Maybe that is deciding the friends that love and support you and lift you up and the ones that don't. I don't know what this looks like in your life, but if you have health and wellness goals in your head, it's certainly worth taking a little bit of time to reflect on and decide, where am I not doing myself a service? Where am I doing myself a disservice by comparing myself to others? And how am I going to intercept that so I can change the voice in my head, going back to that inner critic thing? Where am I going to intercept those stories I'm telling myself about comparison and put in something that's a little bit more loving? Sixth idea here, you might need to seek some support. You might need to seek some accountability, and that's okay. A strong support system, an accountability crew, a group, a club, those might be awesome for your health journey. Maybe it's a coach. Maybe it's a supportive friend or a family member or something your household decides to do together. But you're going to start surrounding yourself with people who understand and encourage your efforts and are willing to help you stay on track with what those are, aren't going to try to sway you off. Everybody can think of somebody in their head, I think. I mean, I can think of people in my head. Everybody can think of somebody in their head whose response to your healthy choice is, oh, do you have to do that today? Oh, well, you could just have this for today. Or you don't have to go. You don't have to go today. You could skip that, right? Or why don't you do this instead? Or why don't you have this instead? We all can kind of imagine people out there that aren't willing to be the best support system for us. And usually it has to do with some story they're telling themselves in their head, right? But we know who those people are. And we've got to actively find the community that's going to encourage us in the direction that we're seeking. I think people tend to see health and wellness as a really individualized aspect of life, which is true, but it doesn't have to be isolated in order to be individual. Having support when times get tough, having accountability to keep going, and also like bonding and making new friends and new relationships with people who have similar interests is a great way to make sure that you continue on this path, that it isn't a 21 days and done, but that it's something you're thinking about as a sustainable life change. And then the last thing I want to offer you today is to stay patient and to stay persistent. Remember that sustainable change takes time. You have to stay committed for time. You have to stay committed to your plan, even when it gets challenging. You got to be persistent and trust that your efforts are going to yield some positive results over time. Consistency, of course, is the backbone of everything here, right? Consistency is key. Consistency is the backbone of persistence. So you're going to keep going even when it's hard or you don't want to. It doesn't mean pushing through something that's painful or pushing yourself when you're exhausted, but it means sticking with something the way that you need to do it so that you can start to create daily routines that align with your goals. You're going to keep going back to those small goals, working on them for a manageable amount of time, tracking your progress to see how far you've come, celebrating it so you get your motivation to keep going, and then going back to the beginning, adding on a little bit more and a little bit more and pushing through, finding that community to help you when it's a challenge. but really just pushing through and kind of being open to adjusting your approach if you need to as you go. Like, life does happen. You are going to get sick. You are going to get tired. You are going to get busy. You can't let that be an end stop. That's an opportunity to be a little bit flexible and to maybe like reroute or to pause and to know that you're going to be able to keep going after that, that your motivation doesn't completely die off. But you know, every time I make a small goal and I make small progress, I do it. I accomplish it. It feels good. So even if I have to take a pause here, or even if I have to take a step back, I know I can get back into that process. That's persistence. Okay. It's not about perfection, but it is about continuing to show up for yourself, knowing that with each step you take, you are progressing toward that bigger picture destination that you desire. Okay. By approaching our health goals with realistic expectations and a holistic health mindset, you cultivate a healthier relationship with yourself and with your well-being. So embrace the journey. Remember that every step you take toward better health is a step in the right direction, no matter how big or how small, okay? I hope that this first part of this series about achieving your health goals is helpful to you. I hope that you have some thoughts about managing your expectations. Let me know what those thoughts are. Pop over to Instagram, Be Well With Steph, and let me know, or you can head to the podcast page, bewellwithsteph.com/podcast, and leave me your feedback or your questions there. And next week, we will be back for part two of this series, which is more about finding your support system. So I hope you tune in then. Thank you so much for listening to Be Well With Steph, the podcast. When there are a million things that you could be doing, I appreciate your choosing to hang out here. And I am proud of you for continuing to work on your own wellness journey. I invite you to head over to bewellwithsteph.com for the details from this episode, my blog, upcoming events, and lots of other resources. If you enjoyed today's show, I'd love to hear from you. I'm Be Well With Steph everywhere you like to hang out on social media, so come on over and say hi. Until next time, my friends, be well.